Hi, welcome to another episode of Get Close. I am your co-host, Gio.
And I'm Bart.
And today is a good, good day.
Why?
Guys, I get to spend some CUNY time staring at your crotch and just your crotch alone. We don't have another guest. We have our little bear friend back. Hi, Mr. Bear. I hope you've been well. Looking soft and CUNY as ever. Today, I want to talk about something that I constantly get DMs about. I'm sure you don't know what... I don't know. Do you check your DMs?
Nah.
Okay, cool. But I do, and I like to engage with my, with people that follow me and stuff. And a lot of the questions that I get are from first-time parents, and they always ask me, like, what should I expect? What should I be doing? What should I be prepping for? Help. And I want to talk about that today. I feel like we're very wing-it type. Okay, I don't know about we, but I'm a very wing-it type of person, and I feel like when I have a grasp of things, I think that might be the same concept that you call ABC, XYZ. I think when I understand my ABCs and the XYZs of things, then I feel like I'm pretty, I can wing it and I can figure it out. Like I can figure out the middle section on my own. And when it came to having Tyka, I definitely did do a lot of research, and I had like the apps that was following all the stages of the development when he was in my little tummy tums. And I read books. I read like the psychology that I would, you know, the different psychology that I was going to get into when being pregnant, when giving birth, when having the kid. So I did do research, but I felt like I did the ABC XYZ method where I'm like, let me just know the both of the extremes. And then I'll just kind of like learn as I go. So I think we did good. We were fortunate enough that my mom stayed with us for the first couple of years. So like, I got really hands-on training when it came to like simple things like how to swaddle in a more comfortable way or how to have them lay down when like I needed to go wash dishes or whatever. Like these are all things that I don't think a book can really teach you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for the fucking conversation. This is great.
No, I'm just listening.
So I think it's really cool to just share whatever insight we have if we could remember any, right? Because hopefully we can enter this phase again this year because we are going to be trying, or we started trying for baby number two. Wild to say that out loud, but super excited for that. And yeah, it's interesting what the brain does too, because like I'll have new moms, so Tyka's four, I have new moms ask me because they just gave birth, like, hey, did your body go through this or did this happen? I'm like, I don't remember. Do you have any of that? You don't remember?
My hips did get wider, yeah.
You son of a bitch, you know what I mean?
Like what I remember.
Yeah. Like, are there things where you're like, oh my God, that was already so long ago. I can't recall.
There's a lot of it that's like that. I think for me, if I were to give a few tips is, you know, when they say like, go to your school orientation, when you go to like the brand new school, because one, I'll show you where everything is at.
Yeah.
Two, you'll walk to all the classes you're going to be at so that the day of,
you're not when panicking. It's,
when there's full traffic on campus, yeah, you're not panicking. You can kind of gauge, okay, cool, I can grab a snack between this class and that class. This is when I'll eat my lunch. You kind of get a good feel for the time and the space that you're going to need to do things. I think that is super important, especially when it comes to having a kid. So before having a kid, think about like the schedule that you think it's going to be. And actually live it.
How did we do that?
So I don't
think we even knew what the fuck was about, like what we were entering.
I think for me at least, the familiarity part of it, the part that kicks me back, is boot camp. In boot camp, we have this thing called Firewatch, or in the military, we have this thing called Firewatch, where you randomly wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes it'll be hour or 2 hours, and it's every single day. You know, so like the last level of preparedness is what you're going to fall back onto, right? So when like Tyka would like cry at night and it was either your time to feed, my time to feed, or whatever, that's where I resort back to.
It was only my time to feed. I was breastfeeding.
But I always support you.
You did.
Right. Yeah. And then when he was off your titties and he's on formula, I'm feeding him with formula and you're sleeping now.
Yeah.
So like I would wake up and I'm like, okay, cool. This is the last. And then I'd be able to slowly kind of prepare and understand. The non-negotiable is by 8 o'clock, we need to start wrapping shit up because we need to be in bed by 9. You know, like I start to like understand what kind of demands it will have, because the first 6 months is fucking rough, right? You're not sleeping, and especially for the mom, because the baby wants booby milk. So the mom is going to be woken up 2-3 times a night. And if the mom still has a job, that's super rough. If the mom can have like 3 months of maternity leave, that'd be awesome. But, you know, you just never know these things. And then also coming home from work, people might be used to coming home from work, kicking their feet up, you know, watching the game. But now you have someone that's crying, that needs interaction. And so, like, understanding that, you know, and then also understanding that now you have something that is fully dependent on you. So you need to be there all the time. And I think a couple of things that helped us was first having a dog. Like, a dog is kind of like that, right? You got to walk the dog in the morning. You got to walk the dog at night. That, like, if you don't interact with the dog gets sad. He'll, like, scratch at the door. Come on, come play with me. So you kind of understand it a little bit. I think that's a good baby stepper. But when it comes to being with the kid, I think being able to kind of block out the schedule and live that schedule even for a month would be tremendously helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even practice waking up in the middle of the night for no reason, walking around for 30 minutes. Okay, I understand what that's going to be like. And then, like, let's say coming home from work, and then usually you're used to just hanging up your bag. Maybe have 1 hour of an intense time with your dog, or 1 hour of intense time with your significant other going to the park. Like, being intentional and understanding how that's going to feel then when the kid comes. Because if you don't do any of these things, that's when I've seen a lot of parents get straight up obliterated.
Yeah.
Especially when both parents are working.
Yeah.
When it's one parent is able to stay at home, they take up, like, the most of that work. The
obliteration on their own.
Yeah, but even that's tough, you know? Because then if the other parent is just kind of like, well, that's your job, I'm going to just kick it here, then you don't feel like a team. And that's when the relationship kind of gets hurt a little bit too.
Yeah. Dang. So you just went through a lot just now, and I do want to break it down a little bit more. I do want to give a mom, like, a female perspective and then a male perspective, because I don't really know what you went through. A lot of the tips that you just said are spot on, and I agree with everything that you're saying. But I want to take it back a little bit and just start with finding out you're pregnant, right? So for me, I wasn't really around a lot of pregnant women, or a lot of, like, within our circle, I was the first person to get pregnant. But, like, that remembered it. I didn't feel like I had, like, the support system around me to really, like, explain it. So I started seeking out different friends that already had kids and stuff, and that I, like, admired the way they were raising their kids. So remember, like, we would meet with different couples that had kids already, and these were, like, older couples.
Yeah.
And, you know, people that we respected and that we looked up to their parenting style. So I think Mark Bell was one of those people that we looked at, and like, he was giving us pointers on, like, what to expect. And that was really helpful, but no one really prepares you for what you're about to embark as a woman. So I remember my first trimester, I found out I was pregnant, super excited. Prior to even becoming pregnant, as soon as we had that conversation of the green light to start busting all sorts of nuts and, like, having me, what is that called? Marinate in your fucking sauces.
Yeah.
Like, I did the pillow under the butt method and, like, elevated my ass. And it depends on who you ask. Studies show that, like, that doesn't really help. But then, I mean, who?
Seemed like it helped for us, because it was, like, less than a month. We were, like, and it worked.
No, it wasn't less than a month. It was for sure, like, a month, maybe even 2 months that it took us.
Really?
I remember every time I got my period, I got really sad. Because I'm like, oh,
I remember, man. It only happened, like, once.
Okay. Well, it was a couple of months. And so I did that to begin with. But even before doing that, we knew we wanted to have kids. So, like, luckily for both of us, we're very responsible people. We don't consume alcohol. We don't consume drugs or whatever. Or if we ever did, then we knew that it needed to stop at a certain point. Like, we had experimented with, like, ecstasy, and we did shit like that. But as soon as the kid conversation got really serious and the green light happened, then we stopped all of that. The workouts became more intentional. Like, I started, like, squatting more than ever, just because, you know, my gynecologist was like, keep doing that, keep training, it's going to help you during labor. He was a big advocate of me strength training. especially in the squat position, because it was like, you know, your body changes, the hips get wider, the bones, what happens?
It's thinner, stronger.
Not thinner, but like they just start like expanding a little bit more because your body's adjusting to deliver this child.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was a huge advocate of stuff like that. And I liked it. I started taking prenatals. I did my research on that. And I started looking at, you know, I started comparing things. So I was already on prenatals. And what else did we do? Oh, I was drinking more. Like I cut out all my sugars. Like I knew that I have a big fucking candy addiction. But as soon as the green light happened, I'm like, fuck, I'm cutting all that shit out. Like I'm not going to give any of this nasty shit to my kids. I'll give it to myself, but not to my kid.
That was so responsible of you.
Yeah, I just
seeing
felt
you
like,
as a mom, I thought was like so cool, because I was like, oh man, like I know how much you like candy, and like, and we were so caffeine dependent too, you know, because we were like working so hard.
Yeah.
And then seeing you go, mom time, this body is no longer mine. It's for my kid. Boom. No candy, no caffeine, smoothie at that like spot in downtown LA every single morning. And I'm like, wow, that was a crazy night and day difference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just feel like that's literally what's happening. You know, you're creating this house for your child. So why wouldn't you want to give it the most premium things?
Well, a lot of people, they still want to hold on to the ownership of their own body.
Yeah. And I know this is going to hurt some people's feelings, but you got to fucking stop doing that shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about you at this point.
Yeah.
If it's still about you, then don't have a kid.
That's true.
Because if you're entering it with like, oh, but this is me, this is who I am, fuck off. Yeah. Like, you're not ready to have a kid. If you don't know how to let go and sacrifice for your offspring.
For one small thing too.
And it's such a short period of time. 9 months, really? Yeah. Like in the span of your life and your child's life, you can't give up fucking 9 months of some shit.
Yeah.
Fucking don't be a parent.
True.
You know, like you can give me all the excuses or all the reasons why you need this, this, and that. Whatever.
Yeah.
That to me tells me you're not.
You're not ready.
You're not ready, dude. Like you should be saying, hey, it's not about me anymore. The dad should be doing the exact same shit. The dad shouldn't be consuming some fucked up shit. If you know you want to have a kid, your sperm's also carrying a lot of these things.
Yeah, there's studies that show that even with weed, it taints the semen. And it carries over when like the fertilization happens.
Yeah.
So I think on my end, I was trying to clean things up, which is so ironic because, you know, the whole dad bod I never got. Because I was like trying to clean my sperm up.
Yeah.
And so I was getting my workouts in really good.
Yeah.
Eating as healthy as you were.
Yeah.
So as you were getting bigger, I was actually getting leaner.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt bad too, because I was like, oh shit, I'm not getting the typical dad bod. I'm actually getting leaner and leaner and leaner.
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't feel bad because I was like, well, it's not for me right now.
Yeah.
Like this. I'm not supposed to be fucking fit and hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cool if you're, everyone's body carries a pregnancy differently. So if you are still fit and hot, cool. But if you're, I don't want to even say unfit and unhot because that's not the opposite. But if you just don't feel fit and hot, that's fine. That's what's supposed to fucking happen. Like, that's why you don't see pregnant women fucking running the Olympics, because it's just, that's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and with all the studies of epigenetics.
Yeah.
Where you pass on the genes that you are expressing at that time, that was so important to me, you know? Like, there's, like, all those studies that show when they took, like, semen from dudes that are overweight and they do, like, longitudinal studies, those kids end up having more prone to diabetes, more prone to being overweight, symptoms for ADHD and all that, because they're passing on the quote-unquote unhealthier gene. When the same exact father or the biological father or creature even gets in shape, gets their cardiovascular, cleans up their diet, their next generation of offspring with the same sperm, same mom in a longitudinal study, those kids aren't prone to diabetes anymore, are prone to being overweight. So it's like the same exact person with their sperm, because that's the state that you're in. Those are the genes that you're passing on. So it was so important for me to try to pass on like the best genes possible.
Yeah. No, and I love that. It got to the point too for me too where I wanted even my state of mind to be really healthy.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to pass on even like super sad genes. of course, this is obviously me being super extreme. And it's inevitable because I always talk about the fucking human experience. We're supposed to feel all these emotions. Abso-fucking-lutely. But I just made sure that I was laughing more. And I was like trying to hold on to things less and not trying to take things personally. And just being in a blissful state as much as I could control being in a blissful state. Just because I wanted my kid to feel comfortable the whole time, you know? So before we even got married, we were very much, pregnant. We were very much aware of like what this instrument needed to like be polished and tuned up and shit before actually having a kid. But even prior to that, it's not like you're going to be able to do it a month before you have a kid. Like this is just a lot of life decisions that we've made to just be healthy people in general. So it made it really easy to switch to that. But I mean, you know, I always knew I wanted to have kids. I think you always knew you wanted to have kids. And one of the things I loved about you when I got with you was that you wanted to be fit and capable so that you can pass on a lot of skills, obviously, but that you can keep up with your kids when they're like fucking around and playing, you know?
That's my favorite thing. When I go to the park.
Yeah.
And there's usually only me and maybe one other dad running around on the jungle gym, but we give each other the look.
Yeah, because you know what's up. Because
we two are like the ones fit enough, not with the achy back or like, you know, the messed up ankles. Like,
yeah.
Like we can play with the kid. We could run across the field. We could do everything.
Yeah. And I don't mean to sound judgmental at all. I just want you guys to see the standard in which I want to live my life, and I wanted to pick my significant other to also be living their life. But you do you. So that happened even before getting pregnant. Once finding out we're pregnant, it was like super strict time. Like I'm not missing out a workout if I can. Obviously, sometimes you're just so, as like your body continues to change or as you're fucking yakking every week because the first trimester is the craziest I've ever felt. I felt so confused. Like my body felt so confused.
What are some of the things that made it feel so crazy?
I'm not a big food person, right? Like yeah. I don't eat a lot of meals. I'm like a grazer. I like a lot of little meals, but like scattered throughout the day. When I started, I think maybe even like
Do you like little meals or you like snacks?
Little meals, like just little bite-sized eats.
Okay.
Like last night when we had dinner, I probably had like a cup of everything or maybe half a cup of everything. And I was like, ooh, I'm satisfied. And then I had dessert and then I chilled. And then like an hour or two later, I had a little bit more bite sizes, you know?
I see.
So maybe your one meal of the calories you're consuming, I'm consuming that, you know, with three small meals or four small meals throughout that time.
I like three or four big meals.
Fine. what was I saying?
That you're...
Oh, how I was feeling. So yeah, I'm not a big eater like that, but like, instantly it hit me. I'm like, I am fucking starving. It felt like I was locked away for weeks without food, and all I was consuming was just a little bit of like tasteless bread and water. And
that's how I needed
to eat so bad. And I remember I was eating and I'm like, oh my God, I want more. And as I'm eating, I'm still getting hungrier. And I'm like, this is fucking weird. Then I'm like, I don't know where. Fuck, I just have to throw up. Remember that one time we were eating pho?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just eating and it was so good. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to throw up right now. And someone was using the women's bathroom. So I walked into the men's bathroom. Someone's in the stall. I'm like, yo, dude, I'm pregnant. I have to throw up. And I just threw up in the fucking sink. But I'm like, I'm not about to throw up while people are eating. That would have been the worst. But yeah, the dude was cool. He was like in the stall. We didn't see each other. He was like, totally understand. I get it. Do you? I'm like, thanks, dude.
Did you ever look up, like, what is it about being the first trimester that makes chicks throw up?
Oh, man, I forgot, but I think it's just, excuse me. I think it's just a lot of hormones happening. Like, you get tension headaches. The only things that would help me with these headaches, because just my hormones are running rampant.
Yeah.
They're just, like, creating life.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing that would help with these tension headaches was actually exercising. So exercising became such a like so dependent on it because it was the only thing that was normalizing or stabilizing how my body was feeling. All your
hormones and everything, yeah.
Yeah, it literally felt like I had this parasite like fucking taking away everything from me. That sounds horrible because it's my fucking monkey dude, but it felt that way. It was that intense.
Yeah.
I just felt like something had invaded my body and my body was just freaking the fuck out.
Wow.
Then my temperature, like I run cold, like I'm a cold ass person. And I remember we were eating at a restaurant that I think they just had either minor AC or they just had no AC, but it was in the summer in LA. It was still fresh. It shouldn't have made me feel this way, but we had to walk out because I was so hot. I just couldn't finish my meal. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, I'm about to fucking pass out. This is, my body temperature is way too hot right now. So that would happen. I was absolutely exhausted because I wasn't consuming any caffeine.
Yeah.
So I was so still working tired. Too. Yeah, working. We were. This is when we were shooting our long hours of JK News, where we were showing up at 9 and wrapping up at midnight. We were shooting those 40 episode days. And like on camera, I was knocking out. Like people are talking and it's a serious topic and I'm nodding off. And I was like, well, fuck. Sorry, like I'm on camera, but I'm not. Like I just didn't feel like I wanted to consume caffeine because my gynecologist was telling me, like, he says, yes, you can consume a cup of coffee safely, for sure. You can have a cup of coffee, you can have a little bit of wine, but he says, you know, you also have to remember that a lot of other things that we may be consuming thoughtlessly may also have caffeine in it. For example, chocolate.
Yeah,
you know. So like I just said, you know what, I'm gonna play it super extra safe. I'm gonna be on the extreme side. I'm not gonna touch any of that. So I stayed away from all of that, but that's why I was like nodding off all the time. Another thing that happened was, as your stomach gets bigger, you just can't do anything. You can't really put on clothes. I mean, you can, but it's just harder. It's
hard. Yeah.
I lived in the same like three pieces of outfit the whole time, and I'm not even complaining
here. Because they're comfy?
Yeah, because it was just easy and thoughtless, and like at least for me, the way I viewed pregnancy, like I'm not trying to be all stylish. I'm just trying to be comfortable, you know? Like yeah. My body was achy.
Yeah. It'll like, be over with in 9 months.
Yeah, fuck it, you know? Like my joints were hurting and achy, and I couldn't even put on my shoes anymore. I remember we had a shoot where I wore this really nice dress and I wanted to wear high heels, and you had to put on the high heels for me because I just couldn't, because the high heel like the clip was on the side by my ankle.
Yeah.
And I couldn't put my leg up because my stomach was in the way, and like you had to put on my shoes. Sleeping was really tough because you're so exhausted. But then at night, I just couldn't go to sleep. I'm like, what do you want from me, buddy?
What? How come you can't go to sleep? Like you felt like
I was just wide awake. Like out of nowhere. I just had this fucking energy. But
you felt tired.
I was exhausted. I was so exhausted. Damn. And I'm like, please, I want to go to sleep. And I just couldn't go to sleep.
That's crazy.
And then you can't lay on your back because like the bigger you get and the further into the pregnancy, it's uncomfortable. You can't lay on your back because now you just have...
Sleep on the side?
10, 50 pounds crushing you, huh?
You have to sleep on the side?
You're a constant side sleeper, which is fine because I was a side sleeper. But man, getting out of bed, I'm like rolling out of bed. And I'm a big chick, you know, I'm 5'11". And I trained. So I should have been capable, but I'm still kind of waddling around still. What else? Like your body changes. Like the biggest change I saw was in my nipples. Like they got really, really dark. And then the plus side is I had the best skin I've ever had. My hair was so beautiful and like shiny, and it had this like beautiful glow, and like my nails were just the strongest they had ever been. I think maybe this was the first time I was actually like intentionally like giving myself all the appropriate things I probably was lacking prior to, you know?
Oh, like all the prenatal vitamins?
Yeah, because they just jam pack it with a bunch of
good stuff in there.
Good stuff, yeah. What else? Everyone's so sweet with pregnant women. I loved it. Everyone was so kind. If I was standing up, men and women, older men, older women, grandmas, grandpas would move out and they're like, here, you sit. I'm like, oh, thank you. But everyone was so sweet with a pregnant woman. If I'm like trying to carry something, you see people rushing to just help. And it was really heartwarming to see like the community be like, okay, she has life. So it was really cool.
That's really cool.
Driving became kind of scary for me. Like I didn't want to drive because I felt like I was putting myself in harm's way. Like especially behind the airbag, wheel.
Because the airbag.
Yeah,
or anything,
like I just didn't want to drive because I'm like, what if I get in an accident now, an airbag, or like there's just very little room between my belly and the steering wheel. So that I didn't want to do.
Gotta do double cobras. And then you gotta race.
Jiu-jitsu moves.
Yeah.
What about you during this phase for me? You're just living life as normal.
The first trimester?
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference I noticed in myself, since I don't go through any bodily changes, it's more of like the dad radar, which I never really had before. Because, you know, it's usually like you kind of have like your spidey senses out just for yourself. You know, you're like, oh, what's that? Whatever, what's that? But I remember going into, we went to Vegas for something and we're walking through the Bellagio. And all of a sudden I could like, I'm like, that's secondhand smoke? What the fuck? Motherfucker, everyone stop fucking smoking, you know? And then so like I would.
And you're in Vegas. That's funny.
I know. And I'd walk in front of you and I'm like purposely going like this. I don't like, because we had to walk
we're
through
so
there.
We're so exaggerated.
I know, because we had to walk through there to go somewhere, you know? So I'm like, okay, can't let Ma Bear breathe this air. You know, that kind of thing. Or even like if we're like walking around in downtown, like I'm like just like looking out extra that I never really was like that attentive before.
Yeah, you were great. You were always so worried about how I felt, if I needed anything. Like you were very much involved in the pregnancy the entire way, which was really rad.
Yeah, I was trying to like make sure like, oh, cool. Like she's running late for something. Maybe I could go downstairs and grab a smoothie.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to stick to like giving the little monkey dude all the best stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But then you just can't move as fast as you usually do. Or you're just stuck throwing up or something, you know? So we're still trying to like just whatever plan. And I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of people, I think, when it comes to having a baby, first of all, they don't plan for it. So it is something that just comes in and it's a curveball and it shakes their whole life up. And when you don't plan for something, I don't think you can ever put your best foot forward.
I get where that comes from, too. Like, our parents didn't plan. They just didn't have time to plan. So how does anyone teach you how to plan?
So I think that's, like, the biggest thing for most people. Like, you need to have a plan, you know? You need to have a plan for everything.
Yeah.
Like, if someone comes and I hear some glass shatter, I know where our guns are located. I know exactly what we're going to do. I know, you know, like, there's a plan.
Yeah.
Versus glass shattering, and now you're trying to devise
we're
a plan.
At each other, who's gonna go down?
That's
there,
tough.
You.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, you don't want to brainstorm when it's an emergency. You want to execute when it's an emergency.
Yeah.
And so I think for us, we had a plan. We know the type of fitness we wanted to be in. We know how the kind of happy state we wanted to be in. Because I remember like even our hikes.
Sorry.
All of our hikes really started even before we had him. Because we're just thinking it might be a good idea to just get out and get some open mountain fresh air every week, you know, just like whatever you're breathing, they're breathing.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. I absolutely love every time I get to talk about BetterHelp, whether that's here on our podcast or whenever I do any IG questions that you guys submit to me, because they are such a great service. BetterHelp is an online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. And I love it because a lot of us, you know, might live in areas where we can't have or we don't have access to a lot of these licensed therapists. So the fact that you can go online from the comfort of your own home, do it over the phone, or if you don't want, you know, your face to be shown, or, you know, you feel a type of way about, you know, seeing someone face to face, you have a lot of options. And I'm a huge fan of options. So BetterHelp right now is focusing this month on online therapy, and they want to remind you to take care of your most important relationship, and that's the one that you're going to have with yourself. So we all know how important relationships are, right? Like, as a species, this is what we're created for. We're social creatures. And how many of us go above and beyond for the people that we love? A lot of us, right? But how many of us go above and beyond to love ourselves? Not too many. And, you know, for me personally, I've noticed in the past, from my past behavior, that I would go above and beyond for people. And I feel like I was doing that because I was so scared to look at myself and see whatever problems or struggles that I was dealing with. And it wasn't until I started, you know, looking into that and really focusing on that and fixing that my relationship with myself got better. And that's what I love about BetterHelp, that, again, going back with the options, you can do it from the comfort of your own home, your own schedule. You set the pace, you set the tone, you set the, you know, the boundaries and how you want to go about it. So for everyone listening right now, whether you're struggling with something or not, you know, if you just need to talk to someone or work some things out, BetterHelp is for you. So because you're listening to this podcast and it was sponsored by BetterHelp, you're going to receive 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/getclose. That's BETTERHELP.com/getclose. Please, please, please take us up on this offer. You really have nothing to lose and literally everything to gain.
So even that, like, let's get some mountain fresh air.
And then you find out they're breathing all their fucking amniotic fluids. That includes all their piss and shit. And they're eating it and shitting it out, then eating it and shitting it out.
Yeah, like, we could get some air, good nutrition. Let's try to sleep. Try to be in a happy place so you got the good hormones, you know, going in there. So I think just planning for all of that and sticking to it, doing whatever we can to stick to it was so important.
Yeah, I love that you knew that. There were so many big changes happening and you were just so adaptive and you didn't question me. And you, it felt like you really trusted all the decisions that I was making. So I felt really supported.
That was one thing I think I really learned from my mom. My mom told me when she had me, she didn't feel support at all. Oh. And that's one part I felt so sad for her. Because one, they're from that generation where mom does everything, dad's work person, right? Yeah. And my mom... she was pregnant and my dad was trying to get his restaurant going at the time. So it was like a lunch and dinner type restaurant. So my dad's gone from like 11 till 11 pretty much. Wow. And my mom was just kind of at home, newly immigrated to America, no friends, no coworkers. Not even a routine. It's not like, oh, she's going to go to like yoga at 3, you know, and then like no support group, none of that stuff. Wow. And so my mom was just doing her own shit. She was just like, well, what do I need to do to make sure like little Bart is healthy? So she's just making her own eggs, going on her own little walks in the park. You know, it was a very individual thing. And when my mom used to tell me that as a kid, I'm like, man, that sucks.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to make sure that, for you, you felt supported, you know?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of in terms of the prep. Oh, another thing was, and I think everyone naturally starts doing this, but like within the last month when like the baby's right around the corner, like getting your house set up. What I liked is that we had like, so at that time we lived in a 2-story.
The
so
nursery? We
had, yeah, well... I see a lot of new parents do this, and I think it's so cute because we did this too.
Yeah.
But you're so excited to have this baby, and you're so excited to start this new chapter in your life that you're, like, stressing over the nursery and doing all that stuff. And we didn't use ours, like, for the first 9 months, right? Or the first year, actually. So if you feel this pressure of, like, setting up the nursery, and this nursery has to be done, and blah, 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 blah. No. Just have a bassinet next to your bed. Depending on how, what kind of sleeping style you want your baby to have.
Yeah, because we had a bassinet for maybe the first 6 months.
Yeah, and then a crib.
Because you need to like be there, right? And then when we started sleep training them, we had the crib in the room.
Yeah.
We actually moved the crib out of the nursery.
After a year.
Into our room.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't until 9 months when we're like, okay.
Was it 9 months? I feel like it was a year. Maybe it was 9 months.
I think it was 9 months. We moved it back in. And it was the hardest week of our lives where we can hear on the baby monitor.
Yeah, we're sleep training.
Yeah, we're sleep training. We can hear them crying.
Yeah, like, we were not there yet.
Oh, we want to go there.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
But then we just read that like the self-soothing needs to happen. Like that's the foundation for them self-soothing later on. I'm like, all right, we got to go with it. And then we finally started using that nursery.
Yeah. So yeah, we didn't use it until... 9 months to a year in. So if you feel this pressure of getting this nursery ready, don't sweat it. I say like find a spot in your house where you're going to want to spend the most time. For me, it was the living room. And make that area. Fuck what the decor looks like. Fuck having it Instagram ready. Fuck all of that. Let's stick to real life. And like I had 2 changing stations. One upstairs because that's the other part where we lived our life.
Yeah.
And then one downstairs where it was the majority where I spent my time was because we have like an open concept living room where you have the kitchen, dining room, and living room. It's all in just one space. So I had a changing table there with like the diaper trash can. I had extra clothes down there because just having to go from room to room was like, if the baby's crying, it's just like, it was just going to be a shit show. So everything I had in my bedroom to take care of Taika, I also kept the exact same stuff downstairs. So baby wipes, extra clothes, toys, ointments, creams, fucking everything we could think of was like double of everything. So that helped a lot because once the baby came, it was like, the house is no longer yours.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, I was fortunate enough, or we were fortunate enough, that we picked a really cool hospital to deliver at, where the first 48, if not 72 hours, they taught me so much about, like, the formulas that, like, I can look into if, you know, because not every single woman's going to be able to breastfeed. Like, the percentage of that is actually really high, and it's very normal. So the fact that you can't breastfeed doesn't make you less of a mother, or it doesn't give your kids less nutrients. Like, Tyka's partially formula, and then Tyka's also partially breastfed. So I didn't feel guilty about going to formula, because I'm just like, my body just didn't produce that anymore. You know, I was back on the working, I was back working, and that is, if you don't continue the supply, then it does go away. So stuff like that. But I never felt like guilty for it. I didn't feel bad, because I just knew that that's just what it is. Yeah, baby comes, the sleep is fucked. One thing that helped me, at least, I don't know if it helped you, was keeping a journal of feeding. Like, just keeping a journal of, like, 9 a.m. wakes up, you know, 11 a.m. Eat, 11:30 diaper change. Like, we kept, remember that journal we kept?
Yeah,
we
wrote literally all of that. Holy shit.
For the first month, we wrote it all down. Any movement that this child made, eating, diaper change, waking up, sleeping, naps, all of that. We documented it.
Yeah, because the pediatrician wanted to know too, to make sure that we're doing a good job.
Yeah. And we started picking up patterns off that. So we started going, oh, okay, so Tyka literally wants to eat every 3 hours. Like, every 3 hours on the dot, I already knew what to expect. So it became easier on myself to be able to predict the behavior and just start setting up my daily routines that way. Because I'm like, okay, I know at this hour this is going to happen. Then this is going to happen. I'm going to burp them. And then after that, you know, I'm going to have to change them or whatever. I made it also a point to take him outside, because I think he had a little bit of jaundice, like when they're a little bit yellow.
Yeah. What is jaundice?
I don't know specifically. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the sun, they do cures have it? Yeah, they do have, like, a maybe a vitamin deficiency or something. And that's also very normal. And yeah, they do have, like, a yellow skin tone.
Yeah.
So the more you have them exposed to natural vitamin D, that helps with that.
My favorite thing was I would come home from work, and then you, your mom, and Tyka would be at that little park next to the house, yeah, like, waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I would just see him, like, you know, he's, like, kind of wobbly, but he's, like, holding on to the bench.
Yeah.
And it just made me feel so cute that I had such a, like, a CUNY warm welcome coming home from work every day.
Yeah, it was cool, because you turn the corner and then you see us.
Yeah.
Another thing I didn't know would happen is, so I had a very normal pregnancy or delivery, pregnancy, all of that. Everything was very to the books. Like, nothing really, no real outliers. One of the things that happened when we had Tyka was, when he was in the womb, he would favor one side. Remember, his neck was tweaked?
Oh, yeah.
So he would only look to the left.
He had better mobility on one side compared,
yeah,
to the other.
Yeah, I forgot what the side is, but I'm just going to pick a side for now. Yeah, he couldn't turn the other way. So we had to take him to a PT. And, like, he would get PT done, like, a couple times a week. And that shit was fucking expensive, dude. But, yeah, he would teach us. I think for the first month we did it. And he would teach us, the PT would teach us a bunch of different neck exercises to help him. Because the fear came that if we didn't do that, then he would need to have neck surgery.
Oh.
Yeah. So I remember this poor little buddy, wow, man. He's such a new things. Baby. And, like, having him feel any sort of pain, I'm like, oh my God, I can't have this. And I would want to cry when I would see this. And I felt like a little guilty. I'm like, how can I allow this for my baby? But I'm like, bitch, shut up. You didn't have any fucking, how are you going to control how the fuck he's sleeping in your womb? Stupid.
Even the first night felt like that. The first night he came out, and then that was pretty much like your recovery phase. And, you know, they keep taking him out to get his shots. And he probably got, I don't know, fucking 8 of them or something.
Mm.
So I'm always going out to, because, you know,
monitor
they,
and, like,
yeah, because there's always, like, the fear of, like, the baby getting switched, even though they're double tagged, but getting switched, getting the wrong baby or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then so, like, I'm always going out with them. And then they're like, oh, do you want these shots? I'm like, yeah, just whatever the pediatrician recommends. I want all of it. And then every time they get a shot, it's in the leg or over here. And I'm like, I just see this little thing.
No, he has no wrinkles. He's so brand new.
And he's just crying. I'm like, oh, this guy's even know why he's crying. This guy doesn't know what's going on. I feel so bad. And then even now, when he's like 3 or 4, we take him to the pediatrician. He has to get updated on certain shots. We talk to him. Like, he's always like, am I going to get shots? We're going to get shots. I'm like, fuck, I have to lie to this guy.
I don't. And I'm like, fuck, I probably should lie. But I don't. I'm like, yeah, dude, you have to.
I know. We go in and he gets shots. And even his leg right now is still tiny. You know. And he sees his big old needle go inside and he cries. I'm like, oh.
And it's so funny. I judge. And I don't mean to. I love the healthcare workers. But when they're poking, like the first time they had to draw blood from his little
foot.
The bottom of his foot.
Yeah.
And I was judging her in my head going, don't you have kids? How can you make this happen, you witch? How do you get pleasure out of like hurting this poor new baby?
How do you get pleasure?
I know, and I'm sure she fucking hates it too.
They
you
hate
know?
It, yeah.
But I'm just dogging her going like, you fucking animal. No, but I mean, hey, they're doing it to keep our babies alive.
Yeah.
So I understand it, but just the emotional mama bear side is just going like, fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, sleeping was a shit show. It was so bad. And I think the thing that helped me when I, because man, it's fucking hard on women, dude. Like, especially if you're breastfeeding, you're it's the really only hard. One that can do it.
It's really hard on women.
And this child only wants to be with you. And most men aren't the nurturing type. So they're kind of all awkward with a baby or whatever, which I'm like, fine. Be awkward, but you're going to do it until you're not awkward. It feels fucking good. That's the only way to learn, motherfuckers.
I don't even know if we're built that way, though.
I don't give a fuck. You better fucking
just
learn.
Anatomically, we're not built to be
you
soft.
You better learn. But one thing, because there were nights where it was just so rough. You're like so exhausted and you're tired and you're still recovering. And like mentally, you just feel so weak and alone. You really do feel alone because... unless you have someone that you're close to that you absolutely love and respect going through the exact same thing as you, is it the exact same time, you literally feel alone. But what helped me when I was feeling alone or frustrated or fed up or tired or just sad, like you were with me every step of the way.
I woke up with you every night, yeah.
Yeah, and it was...
I was getting fucking wrecked.
And it was so comforting because I like... like, it got to the point where you would get up with me and I just felt so good because I'm like, I'm not alone at like 3:21 in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
And I see you and your head's off, your hair's all fucked up and your clothes are all jacked up because you could tell you didn't have like a good night's rest either. But you're there with me and it felt so nice.
I think there's some times where I'm up with you and I'm like, all right, I'm up with you. And you're like, okay, cool. I'm like, all right. Can I go back to sleep? You're like, stay up, motherfucker.
No,
I'm like,
I didn't feel that. No, you didn't. Maybe you think of it as a joke in your head, but you never did that.
Really?
Because I would have felt really fucked up. I would have felt like you're just doing it. You know, my sensitive ass. I would have felt like, damn, he's not being my partner. He's just like, I don't know. I would have flipped it in some sick way.
I also fucking hate the feeling of not being in control, too. I hate that feeling.
Oh, what do you mean?
So like, if I wake up, right, and I'm groggy. And then there's another voice that's like, go back to sleep. I hate like, oh, so you're going to be a fucking little bitch. You can't fucking just stay up after 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
So it makes me go, what the fuck? Man, fuck you, groggy ass voice. I'm fucking up. Yeah. I'm up now, you know?
Yeah.
But then after like a week, you're like, fuck, I do want to go to sleep.
What's that groggy voice? You want me to do what now? Okay.
You win.
Yeah. No, but it felt really good. Like I knew you couldn't do anything. But the fact that I was like, dang, we are going through this together. And the thought that knowing you can't even do anything to still get your ass up, I'm like, you know you can't help.
Yeah.
But you didn't use as an excuse to like not help.
Yeah.
Every time, like clockwork, baby cries, we both were both up. And it got to the point where I'm like, oh my God, I love you so much. And I was like, baby, just go back to sleep. So, I mean, the waking up was good because we're together. But then me going like, I'm not going to make you go through this if you don't have to. And then, you know, and then just letting you go back to sleep. But for any new dads or anyone planning, any males planning on having or partners, don't put it all on the chick, even though you feel like, well, I can't do anything anyway. It's like the emotional part is the biggest thing that we need.
Yeah. If I wasn't good at taking naps already, I got real good. Because, you know, like you get wrecked, you're waking up 3 times a night. I think we'd wake up once at like 11 and then once at like 1, once at 3. And then you're up now, like at 5 or 6, your regular time, you know? And I'd get so fucking wrecked. And I would be like, I would wake up as if I pulled an all-nighter. And then I would, you know, that's when we created the Barbell Brigade pre-workout, because none of the pre-workouts at that time was good enough. So I was like, but I still got goals, you know, so go crush the workout, go crush work. And the minute there's any downtime, I'm like, okay, people are talking. Hey, when's the next time we're going to shoot? I'm like, oh, in 30 minutes. Perfect. I would just fucking find a corner and just go and close my eyes like as much as I could to try to, like, you know, when your battery, your phone battery is on red.
Yeah, it's like the last 10%, 5%.
It's like, but you still need it for the rest of the day. Any second, you're just, you know, are you done with that charger? Even if it's like 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there, you know, the phone will last if you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
So there's times where I'm like, I might be taking like 4, 5, 10 minute naps just randomly. You know, I'm like, oh, I get to like a location early, turn the AC on, just lay here for like 10 minutes, just whatever I can to fucking stay up.
Yeah.
So that I can continue being supportive.
No, that was great. You never complained. You never made it. I don't know why you would, but I never felt bad for any of that. You were just such a dope partner the whole way through. At what point did you feel like a dad? Because for me, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, it was like instant mom mode.
Yeah, same.
Really?
That's what I was saying. I got my dad's spidey senses.
Yeah.
You know, like the minute I was like, oh, shit.
How cool.
I'm going to be a dad. I just felt extra responsible.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because
I felt like I aged 20 years. Because I was thinking as
a maturity or.
Yeah. Like I felt like I was thinking like an older, wiser person now. Because it's not about me anymore.
No, I never felt that because I felt like I'm a pretty good planner. You know, so even like as we were talking to have kids and stuff, like I would slowly like decrease my spending. I would like look at our finances and go, OK, this is the finances for two people. Are we doing it in a way that can cover three or more? You know, so I've already like that's my mindset already, you know, so I kind of slowly, I don't like straight up like 90 degree turns and shit. I like, okay, cool. Like if that's going to happen in 6 months, instead of going hardcore over there, let's just slowly kind of just bring in the gauges.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I was like, okay, cool. Let's get rid of the Porsche, you know, like just like slow, like little slow transitions to get to where we need it to be.
Yeah.
So I've already been a dad before we even started conceiving or trying to conceive. And then when we conceived, that's when like that biological part, like
Super cool.
I think that's when that part kicked in where like all of a sudden I had like a third nostril and like an eye on the back of my head. And I'm like, what's that? Like, what are those bad guys? Like, what the fuck are those fools? Like, what is that? Is that a fucking motorcycle? Why is there all this pollution over here? Like I would just start sensing.
Yeah.
Extra shit, you know?
I'm so proud of myself for picking you.
Why?
Because you're awesome.
You promise?
Yeah, even if you were like a shitty husband, not that you ever were.
That's awesome.
Like, you're such a great partner, like such a great dad.
Oh, that's cuny.
Yeah. That I'm like, yeah, bitch, you did that. Even you though I had nothing to do with that.
Let's try my best.
No, and it's awesome because I'll hear stories from, you know, other women that don't have the same experience as me, and unfortunately their partner isn't as isn't what they wanted them to be, you know. And I'm like, oh fuck, that's rough.
I think I had really good role models, like my parents. I don't think they were really good to each other, which is why they got divorced, but I think in terms of trying their best to be the best parent, I don't know if I've ever seen any other parent try so hard. Like the amount of sacrifice, you know, where like my dad was dating someone and my dog Tyson was like barking all night. She went in the backyard and was like whacking him with a stick. Mm. And I caught her, and then I'm like, yo, what the fuck? I'm like, no, you don't discipline my dog, you don't hurt my dog like that. I told my dad, and she got kicked out the next day.
Good,
you know,
bitch.
Like, I don't know if a lot of people would do that.
No, you know? They wouldn't.
Yeah, my dad's like, no, this is my son, it's my son's dog. They still saw each other, but she was like, my dad's like, that kind of behavior can't be had at this house. So we would still go to like dinners and stuff, and they're still like, she'll still come, and wherever she was dating would still like do that kind of stuff, but she didn't stay there anymore. And like when I first got kicked out of high school in Cerritos and I moved over to the San Gabriel Valley, my dad works night shift. You know, so he leaves for work at 5 p.m. He gets off work at 2, comes home at 3. And when I got kicked out of school, my dad was like, he might need a change of scenery. I want him to live with me. I go live with him. And I go, well, who's going to take me to school? You come home at 3. And he goes, I will. And just like that, like fucking every day, goes to sleep at 3, wakes up at 6 to take me to school at 7, and then comes home and then finishes the rest of his sleep until 12. Like, no question asks, just does it junior or senior year.
Wow.
You know, like when I see like an example like that, I'm like, man, that's discipline. That's commitment. That's dope. You know, and even my dad found out I was smoking in junior high. And my dad's been smoking since he was, I think, 8.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, he's been smoking since he was 8, you know?
8?
Yeah. I mean, my grad grew up in, like, communist China. It's crazy. It's like, if there was a fifth world, he grew up in a fucking fifth world country, you know? And so, at that time, he has, like, 7, 8 brothers and sisters. So, everyone is just living in misery. So, whatever you can do to pass the misery, that's what you do, right? So, like, imagine, like, playing in a dirt puddle. It's raining. You have one bowl of rice to share amongst 5 people. If the older brother gets a hold of a cigarette, he takes a hit. Oh, man, you look horrible. You take a hit. Everyone, it just gets passed down. So everyone gets a head change. You know, like, oh, cool. Everyone feels just good about themselves for just a little bit, you know? So it's not like he was trying to be cool. It was just everyone's in pain and cold and wet and muddy. And like, yeah, he's like, I feel bad too. And the big brother that's 16 told the brother that's 12 to hit, take a hit. The 12-year-old told the 8-year-old take a hit. So they all just take a hit. And so he's been smoking for like 40-something years. He found out I was smoking when I was 12 to be cool. And he's like, let's quit together. And we quit together, and he just quit cold turkey.
Damn.
So I think I had really, really good role models. And even my mom, you know, like in the other podcast, I was talking about how it sucked growing up because all my friends had their own rooms. I had to share a room with my mom, and the rest of the 3 rooms in the house were rented out. But seeing like what you need to do to make finances, to make mortgage, and going with my mom, and we know there's no Craigslist or OfferUp or anything. We're going to the supermarket, to multiple Chinese supermarkets, to staple papers up, you know, help my mom with ads. Like at that time, like I knew what my mom would write in Chinese, and my Chinese wasn't even that good, but I would know how to copy it and make like 10 copies for my mom and write all that in Chinese, and just kind of like learning the discipline and going through all of that helped me understand what it took to be a good parent. And so like when it came time, I was like, I thought I'm pretty ready for this. Like, you know, like self-sacrifice, living for someone other than yourself. I'm like, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's parenting in a nutshell, you know, like even the simple things like going to the movies, like that just doesn't happen anymore because you have a baby or you have a child, you know, that just doesn't comprehend sitting there for 1 hour, 2 hours in this dark room, having to focus on these images on the screen. Like, your life doesn't stop, but it definitely takes a different turn. Like the friends you hang out with, like you might not even be able to hang out with your same circle of friends because they're just not used to a screaming baby, or they want to go and bar hop, or they want to like just, they have different activities, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just now your life's kind of take a turn and like things start changing, not in a good or in a bad way, but they just change.
I do remember the one tough part socially, now that you brought that up, was when Tyka first came out in like the first 6 months, and in our friend circle we're in that phase of life, right? But everyone else, like Joe, David, all the social people are still in like whether or not they're
single mode.
Yeah, they're still single. No one's married. Yeah, they're single mode, right?
I mean, yeah, they have significant others, but on their taxes, they're single.
Yeah, so when they go like, you know, going to our favorite place to eat after JK News, which is Shinsengumi, you know how much I fucking love Shinsengumi.
And everyone's talking and just having a good time, like, oh, not paying attention to the time.
So having to say no all the time, not hang out over there, like on the weekend, oh, everyone's gonna go shooting or something. But then because I know I work Monday through Friday, so Saturdays and Sundays, I do want to spend more time with you and Tyka, saying no to all those things. Like, a lot of the social stuff is kind of tough.
It's hard,
especially if it becomes obviously when you go like when you come from a perspective of man the fuck up. You wanted the fucking kid. Yes, of course. You know, like you step up. You're like, yep, man the fuck up. Oh, you want to go fucking shooting versus taking care of your son? For sure, right? But I think like those are some of the things that it's hard to see coming up, like foregoing some of your favorite things and just the social bonds. And you definitely over time, over the 2-3 years where like me and Joe might have been like this or me and David might have been like this.
Super tight.
But through lifestyle, you do see it being apart, right? Because people.
And that's normal.
And it's normal. Yeah, people will live their own life. Like if you were the go-to guy to go snowboarding all the time, but now you said no 10 times, there might be a different guy, you know, or you were the guy that was going to get fucking birria tacos with every single Tuesday. But now you say no 20 times, there's going to, you know, it's just normal. It's life. It's, but there's still like a nostalgic part. You're like, oh man, I miss when it was just like us like this.
Yeah. The cool thing with that though, if if you can remind yourself that people will come back around. Like
if they're your true homies, yeah, they
not even like that. But like life brings you back, right? So like we know David, we know Joe, they both want to have kids at some point. We know that they're gonna come right back around and they're gonna jump in on this fucking parent train. Hmm. And we know that we're gonna not be able to all go snowboarding together. But guess what? Now because we all have families, we're all gonna go to the snow together. We're gonna get a cabin. Things are a little bit slower, but now you guys get 1 hour of snowboarding time. You know what I mean? Like life will bring you back where it needs to bring you back. So like when shit like that was happening, I didn't really think about it too much because I'm just like, this isn't forever. Like I know how quickly kids grow up. So I never felt like I was going to miss out on anything. The only thing though that I felt like is important to really focus on and hold on to as fucking hard as you can is balance. Because as a woman and as a mother, a lot of that responsibility is put on us in the beginning because it has to, right? We're the nurturers. We're our body's literally giving them life. Like even our mindset, like we feel guilty when we're away from our kids. We hear another kid scream and our body tells us to start producing milk. So then we start excreting milk out of our nipples and it's not even our baby crying. Like just biologically, we're supposed to be with our kid. But what happens is, and there's nothing wrong if you're okay with this, but you kind of start losing a sense of self. Like the old you is kind of dead now and you have to say goodbye to that, but there's still remnants of who you are at the core that's still there, and I think it's really important to nurture that and give yourself that balance and go out once in a while away from your kids and trust your spouse, and hopefully you have a significant other that you can trust. And that's one thing that I love that I have with you is that anytime I've ever just had my me time, even if it's for an hour or whatever, or even if it was for a weekend, I never felt like you needed my help. I felt like you're so involved from like the very beginning to this point that like I can leave without any type of doubt that this baby will be good. So that was really good.
Well, that's also to me, like I know how important that is for a human being, you know, the balance part.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we all want to be good mommies and daddies and we want to be there all the time. But kind of like how I told you, like when I am able to train in the morning, and for some reason, whatever it is, once I get that out of me, I'm like level headed. I have all that aggression out. I'm like operating from a state of euphoria because I've got all my serotonin and dopamine firing the right way. I make better decisions, buy better dietary, financial, social, all kinds of better decisions just because I train in the morning.
Yeah.
Even if I woke up groggy.
Yeah, no.
But getting that out.
Yeah.
And so that's my daily check, right? And so I think people they got daily checks for their balance. People also need weekly checks for the balance and monthly checks for the balance. So even if you're like an Olympian volleyball player, if you don't play volleyball for a year, you probably lose that identity.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important. So whatever, however frequently you need to do it, maybe you used to play volleyball every single day. And that's important to you. Maybe you can't do that anymore.
No.
But if you could do it once a week or maybe even once a month or even once a quarter.
Yeah, enough.
Yeah, to keep that part of you alive.
Yeah.
Because like all the things that you gain from being an Olympian volleyball player, like let's say your tenacity, your discipline, all those really good benefits, if that identity dies, I think so do those traits.
Yeah, for sure. And I know at the beginning of this, I'm like, yo, if you're not willing to sacrifice, then you're not ready to be a parent. And I feel like, yes, I still stick to that. Obviously, I'm saying it. But when it comes to yourself and like who you are as a person, it's really important to still keep that person around. Because like I said, right, like kids, my mom has always told me this, and ever since she said these words, it's really stuck with me. She said, kids are borrowed. Like you and I, we're going to be together till we die, right? I'm going to be with myself until I die. But my kid or kids, they're going to grow up and start their own family. They're going to leave. We're going to be empty nesters one day, you know? So then at that point, who are you left with? Yourself. And if you don't know who the fuck you are, then that's when a bunch of weird shit starts happening, you know? So this,
I can't wait to see Tycho's family.
It's so fucking cool. I know.
I'm like, it's going to be so cuny to see monkey dudes, monkey dude.
I know. That's I hope crazy. I live to see that, man. I hope I live to see
that. Crazy.
But yeah, parenting is a lot of self-sacrificing and a lot of life-changing and a lot of putting your kids first before yourself, but also not neglecting yourself. And that's still a form of balance.
Especially, I think, if those parts of yourself are who your identity is and also drives you to be a better person.
Yeah.
So like
training.
Yeah. Yeah. You. Yeah. Yeah. Even like one thing that felt so good, I didn't know it was going to feel this good, was the first 9 months to a year. I love shooting, right? Like shooting does so much for me. It's something I learned in the military. So it's part of that identity, part of that, like that pastime that I really enjoy. Two, it helps me feel good as a protector, that I'm like, because with shooting comes like weapons handling,
comes
situational awareness, comes like fast hand eye coordination, comes very proper thing, safety protocol. So like not just safety protocol in like the gun aspect, but like let's say something as simple as like I could go, oh, can I borrow that knife? I take the knife already spinning around in my hand, and I hand him the handle first. Just like the concept and the movement of the process of safety protocol and everything. When I'm doing construction, like building this podcast, the minute Tyka comes, I already unplug it and I put the drill to the side. No power tools when he's around because I don't want him to press something and something happens. I see him go back inside. I plug that back in. Now, like just that gun has so many parallels in the rest of the way that I live. And so when I don't go shooting when they're in the first 9 months to a year because I just don't have time, I can feel that side of me like die down, you know? And I'm like, oh man, this feels so sad. I could the military part is kind of fading away. The protector part is kind of fading away. And then just one day, I think I was in the garage in between training and sets. I'm like, I'm just going to weapons handle. And then there's that one video of me like doing squats with like a holster and stuff like that. I just opened up the safe. And I'm just like dry firing, which is like no bullets, practicing, unloading, changing clips. And just that kind of reinvigorated the protector.
Cute.
Reinvigorated like, oh, cool. If something bad happens, what is the plan at home? How do we evacuate? Is it the back? Is it the front? And just all of that just clicked in. So even like I wasn't able to go shooting, but to be able to nurture the parts of you that make you who you are in a positive way, I think is so important too.
Super cuny.
Yeah.
You're such a cool fucking dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Why am I
so
cool?
I love it. I don't know. I just love the way you think. You know, it's never like you. I never feel you go, oh shit, let me prep. It's always like you've been prepped. And you're so fair and you're so respectful and you're so willing to learn and you know a lot. And the self-sacrifice, I mean, just everything. You're just like my favorite partner ever.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And Tyke is so fucking lucky to have you because you're just so fun too.
It's cuny.
You're a big cuny guy. All right. Well, on that note, before I start fucking crying my makeup away, yeah. Thank you guys for constantly asking these questions in the DMs. If we don't get to you guys in the comments below, definitely shoot us a DM or just shoot me the DM because Bart's not checking that shit.
Nah, I need my own mental clarity. I would love to talk with everyone.
It gets overwhelming for sure.
Yeah, like
we appreciate it. We love it. But if we spent our whole day, if we spent time answering every single DM we got, we would never have any time to do anything else.
Yeah.
Which is still a blessing, right? To be, to have people trust you and follow you and want to learn from you so deeply that they reach out to you is a fucking blessing, and I'm so grateful and I don't take that for granted. But hopefully we were able to shed a lot more light in this one episode so that you know, that question, you guys can at least go like, oh, okay, cool, I know where to go, I know there's a resource. If there's a friend that has those same questions, hey, check out this podcast. They kind of go into detail of stuff like that. Again, if there's anything that we can answer that we've gone through that you guys want to know, please hit us up about it. It's, these are always so cool, and we kind of forget that we have this knowledge sometimes, so it's yeah. really cool to go back and either reminisce.
Forgot we went through all that,
you know.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. Love you, appreciate you, and I hope you're having a beautiful day. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.